gold medal Olympic quality radio right here on the Central Coast with Phil Benega and 1340 KYNS.
And now, here's Phil Benega
taking the podium. You realize the Olympics are on five stations, five TV stations. So I've been going back and forth and back and forth. But then you get somebody, they got the horse jumping over the thing. I didn't want to see that. Then I just got something else. I didn't want to see that. Then, but so you got a lot of choices. So just so you know for sure. So there's five things. Can I tell you what they are? I can't remember them all. NBC Sports, NBC Sports, Bravo, and then Channel 42 and 43. And Bravo is, what is that, 88, 66, something like that, and 4. So you can see the Olympics all over the place. Now, having seen a lot of the Olympics already, of course, over the weekend, we have to ask ourselves this question. This is the question I would ask and I would pose to a gymnast, Jordan Weber, would be this. Is the thrill of victory more thrilling than the agony of defeat is more agonizing?
With Bill Benega. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Hello.
Most smokehouse barbecue has been knocking them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad, six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Hello, Central Coast. Charter Telephone is now available in your neighborhood, and now's the time to enjoy the savings for yourself.
Hello, Simplicity.
There's no new equipment to buy. You use the same phone and phone jacks, and of course you keep the same home phone number.
Hello, Savings.
Charter Telephone includes unlimited nationwide calling, so it's just as easy to call across town as it is across the country.
Hello, Value.
Our plans come with 10 of the most popular features, including caller ID and call waiting. It's like your current phone service in every way, only better. And when you bundle Charter Telephone with Charter Digital Cable and high-speed internet, the savings only get better with one low monthly bill. So what are you waiting for? Answer the call. Charter Telephone is here. Find out more at charter.com or call 1-866-608-4134. Service is not available in all areas. Unlimited long-distance calling includes U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. Restrictions apply. Offer ends 12/31/07. Call 1-866-608-4134 for details.
Okay, I'm ready to go here. Everything's fine. Yeah, I got people coming. I have guests coming in today because we're going to talk about the women in the plaza and women all over the town and women all over the county, women all over the world, probably. We're going to talk about women. But for now, we got to do our flashback in history and our birthdays. And our flashback in history is going to be easier. Our highlight and on this day in history because there's only two things. According to the Tribune, our highlight in history on July 30th, 1942, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed a bill creating a women's auxiliary agency in the Navy known as Women Accepted for Volunteer Emergency Service, WAVES for short. And like I said, I never encountered one of those. On this date in 1729, Baltimore, Maryland was founded. And then they made slaves, and terrible things happened after that. All right, here's what's happened today on our birthdays. Blues musician Buddy Guy is 76. Singer Paul Anka is 71. Jazz musician David Sanborn is 67. Former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is 65. Actor Lawrence Fishburne is 51. Actor Simon Baker is 43. Actress Hilary Swank is 38. Happy birthday to them, but happy birthday to you, especially if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
It's your call, and the smartest one you can make is to Coastal Computers. There isn't another group of 10 people more dedicated to helping their clients get the most out of their business computers. Dedicated pros who enjoy helping people with their computers. They love making small business networks network and making the whole mess seem simple. Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers and technology just to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire computer staff. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computer's first concern, and that includes making your operation painless and highly successful. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're certainly the real deal and worth a call. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com right now.
Here's the news from CalCoastNews.com for a Monday. Pastor Rebel's father and son are suspected of shooting and killing two men at a San Arto residence on Saturday before kidnapping a 16-year-old girl who was at the home. Owner of the home discovered the bodies of Hector Reyes, 33, and Daniel Fraga, I hope I'm saying that right, 35, at about 10 p.m., and also his daughter, Eunice Serrato, 16, was missing from the house. Officials have issued an Amber Alert. Monterey County Sheriff's deputies are searching for Serrato's boyfriend, Juan Manuel Salazar, Jr., and his father, Juan Manuel Salazar, Sr. As persons of interest in the case, they suspect the men are attempting to take Serrato to Mexico. Deputies describe Juan Manuel Salazar Jr. as being 5'8" tall, weighing 150 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. He may have been shot during the altercation, officials said. So look for a guy with a big bullet wound. The senior guy is also described as 5'8" tall, weighing 150 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. They probably look quite a bit alike too. The suspect was last seen driving a blue Chevrolet Tahoe with California license plate. Well, here we got the license plate number, for gosh sakes. 6W54124. 6W54124. If you see them, call the coppers. And other things that are happening today. An alleged affair between a senior San Luis Obispo County Sheriff deputy and a lower-ranking officer's wife has prompted department officials to place three employees on paid administrative leave following allegations that senior deputy Todd Steeb was having an affair with lower-ranking deputy's wife. The lower-ranking deputy allegedly assaulted his wife, a sheriff's department dispatcher. After learning of the assault, sheriff officials sent Commander Aaron Nix to arrest John Pozdalski for domestic violence at his home in Los Osos on July 16th. Department officials then placed all three allegedly involved in the tryst on paid administrative leave while Internal Affairs looks into the allegations. Shortly before Ian Parkinson was elected sheriff, the department was investigating another sex scandal involving several department employees. In the summer of 2010, a male sheriff deputy and a female jail corrections officer were accused of sexual misconduct on the job and of filing a false report against the wife of a former officer. So just thrills and chills abound over there at the sheriff's department at the moment. Okay. That story, by the way, came in just seconds ago. An altercation in the parking lot of a Dry Creek apartment complex in Paso Robles ended with a 25-year-old man being shot on Saturday. Witnesses told police at about 11:15 p.m. the suspect shot the victim and then fled on Coral Creek Avenue in a small silver car. The victim was transported to an area hospital. His name and condition are being withheld pending notification of his next of kin. It is unknown at this time if the shooting was gang-related, police said. And if you hadn't heard about it, I better tell you, federal food inspectors initiated a recall of Trader Joe's barbecue chicken salads because the onion used in the salad may be contaminated with Listeria bacteria. United States Department of Agriculture officials announced in a press release on Friday that Huxtable's Kitchen of Vernon is recalling about 5,610 pounds of salads. The salads were distributed to Trader Joe's in Arizona, New Mexico, California, Nevada, and Texas. No illnesses related to salads have been reported. Officials have identified the product as having a use-by July 30th and are numbered P-11079. Barbecue chicken salad, Trader Joe's. If it says barbecue chicken salad from Trader Joe's, just check it or take it back, whatever you want to do. P-11079. Listeria is an organism that can cause serious and sometimes fatal infections in the elderly, pregnant women, young children, and others with weakened immune systems. That's what's happening on Calco's News Update today. We'll get together with Karen Vealey on Friday, unless something else breaks before then. And don't forget to go to Calco's News 24/7 on your internet.
CalcoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Here you go, here you go. I have Robin here. I think I have Robin and Judith. I should probably get them in here. Well, let me do this first. Let me do this. Because I want to set you up for chow. You know what I'm saying? I want to get, it's lunchtime. You want to go to Spencer's Fresh Market. You say, Bill, when am I going to get there? You're going to get some great stuff right there in the deli department. They have cooked chicken leg quarters, 2 for $3. And they got a thing to heat them up. They got hummus. They got turkey breast. They got ham and stuff. They got German potato salad. You can have all these different sandwiches made, you know. You can pick all your meats and cheeses and everything, you know, and have make it just a yummy sub. Oh, yeah. And in San Luis Obispo, they got a soup bar. And then don't forget also on Mondays, they got the other deal going on. You get pizza for 2 for $5. So you can't beat that. Harris Ranch beef back ribs are just $1.99 a pound. Prairie Fresh Natural Bone and Center Cut Pork Chops, $3.49 a pound. Foster Farms Whole Frying Chicken is $1.19. And Prairie Fresh Natural Pork Boneless Pork Shoulder Butt Roast, $1.99 a pound. You ready for some pulled pork? Pull it. All right, which is also chicken. So it's confusing. Boneless New York steaks are $3.99 a pound, and you can get fresh chicken breasts with ribs attached to them for $1.29 a pound. Seedless watermelons, $2.99 each. Seedless red grapes, 99 cents a pound. The indoor farmer's market is happening. The deli's happening. Don't forget they have supplements, you know, if you need the vitamins and all that kind of stuff and minerals. They have all those supplements and everything. Plus, they have the best prices. They have really, 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 really good prices. Really, really, really. So tomorrow, Tuesday, they get the new flyer will come out. I want you to take all the flyers. I want you to find a similar item and see what I'm telling you about. Because you'll go, Bill, I couldn't believe this. Okay. That's what's going on with Spencer's. Well, here's what happened. This is where I was mentioning the agony of defeat. The shocking question people were asking is at the North Greenwich Arena, where were you when Jordan Weber, the reigning world all-around champion forecast by many as its girl of the Olympics, missed out on qualifying for the all-around final? It was simply a blockbuster. It's not that Weber crashed in the concession stand. She was the fourth best gymnast in the day's series of qualifying sessions, but only two gymnasts per country can qualify for both the all-around final and the apparatus finals throughout the week, and she was tripped up by a pair of teammates who had superior afternoons. It wasn't a shock that one should have been Gabby Douglas, who after all beat Weber by the tenth of a point at U.S. trials earlier this month in San Jose, but who could have seen Allie Raisman, a two-time world team member, finishing ahead of her too. As team captain, Raisman was a popular and experienced teammate. As a world medalist on the floor exercise, she was and still is a strong candidate to win a medal on her best event. But Raisman was thought to be too weak to, or uneven bars to be a serious threat in the all-around phase. Instead, here it is, the whole thing, you know, they had, what's the guy's name, Taroli Faloli, on talking about it, and it's like, you know. He said, and this was interesting, too, because their coach said, you know, it doesn't make any sense. He said, this is the best woman in the world. This is the best gymnast athlete in the world, and now she's not going to be competing. But that's the breaks of Olympics. You know, you do a flippy-doodle, and you step out of bounds and whatnot, which is what she did, one of the things she did. And so that's it right there. So that's too bad. Lots of other things going on with the Olympics. We can talk about Olympics all day. And actually, they're going on all day, so it's either way. We can talk about it all day. You can watch it all day. It's an all-day event. It's just going on right there. And don't forget, I told you can watch it on 5 different things, too. There was other things that are going on with the Olympics. Empty seats tarnish a golden start to the Games. London Olympic organizers call in military students to fill unexpectedly vacant seats. So they're saying, what's with that? Well, because they, you know, it's not cheap. It's not cheap, these seats. You know, how many people can afford to go to England to begin with? All right, so this is why they're not, you know, they're in some of these venues, you know, swimming, gymnastics, tennis, and other supposedly sold-out events. Things aren't going so great. So they're saying this is not good. I don't know what's happening. But here's the thing. You'd have to know what was like in the past, would you not? The hullabaloo threatened to overshadow what the otherwise been a smooth start at London's first Olympics in 64 years. Olympic officials said they had begun an investigation in which groups weren't using all their seats and in the meantime had invited local students and teachers to use spare tickets. So they're trying to figure out who didn't show up because they're not showing up in blocks, which is kind of weird. Even athletes were finding tickets impossible to come by. Indian tennis player wrote on Twitter Saturday afternoon, being trying for 6 hours to buy my wife a ticket to watch me play tomorrow. Still no luck and the grounds here feel empty. It's absurd. So they got to try to figure out what happened. Maybe the people were kidnapped or something. Maybe they disappeared. Maybe they're taking them to spaceships by aliens and whatnot. You still don't know. Grover Beach, people are they're talking about more parks ready to go smokeless down there. Parking lots, parks, you know, no puffing. And then they've even set up a fine system, you know, about you get violation of the ordinance, $100 for the first offense, and then it gets worse than that if you get nailed again. It's for the second and third offenses within a year, the fine increases to $200 and $300 respectively. Of course, here's the thing that I think is really going to be rather imperative about this whole thing. Now, unless we're going to have of course, you have to realize something. Everybody has a cell phone, not except Bill. So everybody has a cell phone. So, you know, they see somebody smoking, they want to rat them out. They can call, do they call 911? It's not an emergency. We need a new smoking number, you know what I mean? Cough, cough, cough. Or I don't know what it would be. Something. We need something, though. So, in case you want to rat out the smokers. Please don't have time for this. They don't. They really don't. If they had time to do this, they'd just be hanging around parks all the time. You know, even before there's any laws about not smoking. You don't see them hanging around parks, do you? All right, well, then, I don't know how they're going to enforce all this, but okay. I understand. It makes sense. It really does. And the people that smoke that are still diehard smokers, and they're going to die, and it's going to be hard for them, I'll tell you that, still shake their head and go, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. And yet here's a cigarette with smoke, and the smoke obviously travels through the air and affects other people. You know, it's not like if you ingested something and said, well, I should have the right to ingest this because it's not bothering anybody else. Okay. Depending on what that is, of course. So cocaine's, like, not acceptable. Bath salts these days aren't any good either. Now there's all kinds of other stuff they're talking about. We'll get to that story, too. Anyway, there's just all kinds of stuff out there. It's absolutely amazing. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the ladies. So I will, and I can't answer the phone yet, and I'm feeling really bad about that. I can't answer the phone yet. So I haven't seen Tom in a week, so I have no idea what's going on. And I'm, you know, the old proverbial mushroom. I'm left in the dark here. So when I can know something, I will know it, and then I will share it with you. And that's the best I can hope for at this point. All right, we're gonna play some tune while we get the ladies.
Run away, I've got to get away from the pain you drive.
All right, we're tainted right there. I think it's really tainted. Okay. Okay, we're going to... No, we don't need those at all. We can't... Nobody's calling right now because we have a slight problem. Okay, we're also on the air right now. So we... Sorry, don't get excited. It doesn't matter. This is... You know, this is Talk is Cheap. It's just, you know, it just happens. It just happens however it happens. It doesn't matter. I have Robin Rinsler and I have Judith Bernstein with me. Did I say that right?
Correct.
Okay, Judith Bernstein. And we're talking about the ladies are going to do stuff and... And I forgot to write it down. There's an event coming up at the Mission Plaza, though, I know, and it's women that are doing good stuff.
Yeah. It's called Day with Creative Women. That's what it's called.
All right. Tell me about Day with Creative Women.
Day with Creative Women is happening August 11th. This will be our 38th year of putting on this event in Mission Plaza. And it will be a day of wine, women, and song. Actually, literally.
I don't know about the wine, but...
Well, that kind of wraps that up.
I think we'll have...
Okay, well, I'm glad you guys stopped by.
We'll have mystery. We'll have music. Yes, we will have song. It's a day to honor the creativity of women. So we have everything from people who make beautiful ceramics, jewelry, silk scarves, as well as women who are writers, who are members of something called Sisters in Crime, and Knight Riders. So we have a really and then there's a woman who makes all kinds of herbal body lotions, et cetera, from her own garden.
Wow.
Elfin Farm. So they'll be there. We have really a wide variety.
Okay, so there'll be wine people there.
Well, actually, I don't know if Judith knows this, but I have been working frantically to do something we've never done before, as far as I know. I've been involved with the Women's Community Center, which is, by the way, the organization that puts this on, since 2004. This organization goes back to the 1970s. And as far as I know, in our 38 years, we've never served wine or alcohol. And I am trying to make that happen.
It's about time, for gosh sake.
Exactly.
No, actually, it's a pleasure. You know, women like wine, too. Women, you know, I think of wine, I think of women for some reason. Women like wine.
And you think of song.
And
we'll have
wine,
song there
song.
As well.
So there you got song. But here's the thing. So that'd be nice. And then, so you're going to have, is there going to be some chow of some kind people can buy?
There'll be food. There's always food there. So that's not anything terribly unique. In terms of, you know, if you've been coming for years to this event, but the wine will be kind of a nice surprise.
Now, this August 11th, what time is it again?
It's all day. It's 10 to 5.
10 to 5.
It's in Mission Plaza.
Okay. Now, here's something that people may not know, and it's a lot of fun in its own way, and luckily it didn't happen to me. My wife and I got married on July 23rd in the Mission years and years ago. We just celebrated our anniversary. And so here's what happened, though. When these events go on, if somebody's getting married, have you ever had this happen during your event? The people get married.
Yeah.
Have you had
it
happen?
Happens. It always happens.
Oh, it always happens in your event?
I think there are 3 weddings planned for the 11th.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, okay. Well, so that's fun. So then it also becomes sort of a bridal boutique. You know?
Well, we have authors who will be there signing their work, and you can run out and buy all kinds of wedding presents. But I wanted to say something that the people may not realize. We do have men, but each booth has at least a woman in it. So we have, for instance, a great music group. A friend of mine, Craig Kincaid, is a member of Slowpokes, and there's a woman who's a member of the band. So we do have some men.
Oh, there are some men hanging around.
Yeah, we have some men.
I would encourage men to go because there's women there. You know, and that's that's how it was designed, I thought. So anyway, now is there anything new? Is there like some big special new thing going on? Or just you got the lady making her own stuff?
Oh, well, there's always new vendors coming.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully we'll pick up, you know, some of our old vendors, but we always get new vendors as well. And so it's always new, fresh things. So that's exciting. The performers actually we're still putting out a call for volunteers to help on that day. If anybody's listening and wants to volunteer, okay. They could certainly do that.
What will they be doing?
We have lots of duties for volunteers, okay. So we, you know, have lots of assignments, not to worry. we also want to put out a call for, we still have room for vendors. We have a couple of...
Robin, you're cracking me up. It's hard enough to volunteer for something that you know what it is, and you're saying you want to volunteer for something you don't know what it's going to be? What is that? That was the military. That was the military. I don't know what I'm getting into, but I'm volunteering.
What is it you don't know?
No. I mean, what do you have people need to clean up? You need people what do they do?
Oh, we need, you know, bathroom breaks. Sometimes women come alone and they have their booth.
Oh, so they have to watch the booth.
Somebody to watch the booth for them, or to, you know, if they have questions or problems that they need solved, or we need...
Having trouble setting up their booth and they just need an extra hand. They do bring their own tent and table, correct?
And chairs.
And chairs, so they could always use a hand.
So Judith,
how did you get sucked into being the chairman of this thing this year? No, seriously.
Well, I saw an announcement that it was going to be held again, and I have gone every single year. I've gotten... One year, I think it was I bought an Armenian cookbook, and the lady was there actually demonstrating the recipes and giving samples. Now, that's pretty unusual.
Wow.
But I've been making Armenian food ever since. So wow. I bought a beautiful glass hanging that's in front of one of my windows. So every year I've come, and I thought, well, I'd just like to do more this year, and I do a lot of PR for local nonprofit groups. And so I thought, why not put my skills to use for this one?
Good for you. Good for you.
Judith has been wonderful.
Good
for
you.
We're really lucky to have her.
Now, are you still a powwow specialist?
Yes.
Okay. What is it called again?
I'm a divorce mediator.
A mediator.
Yeah.
That's what it's not a powwow specialist. It's a mediator. But I knew it was something like that. Okay. So you're still mediating?
I'm still doing that. That's my day job.
And
this
that's your day
is my
job.
Volunteer stuff that I do.
You know, you should do that in Hollywood because a lot of people get divorced down there. You ever notice? And the fun part is some of the marriages only last a few days, months, even
weeks. You know, when Paul McCartney was going through his divorce with Heather, you know, I kept saying I'd do it for free. I don't think he got that message.
She didn't walk away for free either, I'll tell you. Anyway, so I just want to mention what Robin did is all, that's why. And your long-running friend, Miss King, has retired.
She has, but did you notice that I brought in her...
This is actually the replacement.
No, her doppelganger, though.
She's excited. Angie and I have a lot in common. She's an old friend of mine, too, from when I used to work for the Wilshire Foundation, and Angie was head of the senior legal project.
Uh-huh.
So you know how this town is. It's not huge.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes,
yeah.
You know. So the overlap is there.
You know what always amazes me about this town? It really does. Now, my wife grew up in this town. You know, I was born and raised in this town. And so, you know, anytime we run into anybody, it gets into this person, that person, that person, that person. It goes on for hours. But the interesting thing is the people that I don't run into. So, for instance, this town doesn't seem that big. Have I ever run into you, Robin, ever? No. Besides this radio station? No.
No.
Have I run into you? No. It's just really weird. You don't.
But now that you've said that, we're going to see each other probably next week. Sometime.
Maybe. Well, we'll see. But I've always found that to be the strangest thing about San Luis Obispo to me.
Well, you're wearing a hat and sunglasses. I'm not sure I'd recognize you if I see you at the Day with Creative Women. Oh, now I see you. Okay. I want to see you there.
I didn't really do a hairdo today, so I was kind of embarrassed. I put a hat on it. You know, that kind of thing. All right. So who started the Day of Creative Women?
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea.
I don't either.
It goes back way before my time. I've only lived here 18 years. So I know that the Women's Community Center used to be called the Women's Resource Center. They changed in 1999 and became the Women's Community Center. So they became a 501c3 and changed their name. I just know that from Angie.
I'm trying to think back. So this is 36 years?
38 years.
Yeah.
38. I've been here 35. And I'm trying to think who was stirring the stew when it came to women back then, besides the Mothers for Peace.
I started in 2004. I don't know how old some of these programs are. I know they were here and in place when I started. The ProPer Clinic is one of the things that the Women's Community Center offers. That's an opportunity for women and their families. Well, that's how we phrase that. So, of course, men could come to that. It's an opportunity for them to speak to a family law attorney one-on-one to get some legal advice.
Now, again, how often do you do that now still?
That's always the fourth Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
It's at 5 o'clock. It's at the Law Library in San Luis, which is across from the Fremont Theater and down the stairs. and it's a $40 fee. That money goes to the Women's Community Center, and the lawyers donate their time. So they're there to answer any legal questions that people have. So all they have to do is call. If you're interested in that, call the Women's Community Center and sign up, and then you just pay at the door.
You know, it's interesting. Let's just talk about what's going on with women. They had an article, of course, over the weekend about how many women are now in the top 500 corporations or running the top 500 corporations. This mayor was just appointed head of Yahoo, and she has a lot of experience. So women, from that point, the glass ceiling certainly has smashed when it comes to corporate executiving. However, how do you perceive things on the Central Coast? Do you see things better on the Central Coast than they used to be for women?
Wait,
about the same?
That's a funny question, because we were just talking about that before we came in here. Judith and I were having a talk about that. As a divorce mediator, I'm handling and listening to husbands and wives talking about their assets and their debt and how much income they have. And we are still in a position where nearly all of my clients are in that situation where the man makes more money than the woman. I mean, there's a couple. I mean, I can count on one hand how many men are in a position to even ask for spousal support.
And here's another point. Look at the city councils. Paso Robles City Council, I lived there 6 years, always been all men.
Right.
Look at the Board of Supervisors at the moment, all men. Now, we have a state with two women senators, which is wonderful, and Lois Capps is running for a seat. But we still have pretty low representation. In fact, in Congress, it's lower than it was in the past rather than higher. And part of that is the money issue.
And, you know, they talked about all the women's issues that have come up this year, you know, abortion and all this funding and all this stuff. And part of the problem with that is that it's always struck me as somewhat idiotic is the fact that it's men that are deciding what women should be doing. And I have to say, I find that too ludicrous. Is that all these men are deciding what should happen with women's health and all these kinds of issues, and it makes absolutely no sense to me. I'll tell you another place that I'm very, very, very disappointed, and they had recent things in the Air Force that occurred, but they are now saying that 1 in 5 women that go in the military, 1 in 5 is sexually assaulted.
Yeah, and I read that too.
And that's just I don't understand. I was in the military. We didn't have an aura of, you know, well, let's assault the first woman we see walking down the street. I mean, it just didn't happen. And that was, you know, a lot many years ago. But I don't know what has changed so much. And you would think, as the military becomes, you know, now not only tolerant of gays, but accepts gays in the military and acknowledges their presence. As a matter of fact, they even let them go march in the parade in uniform in San Diego. You would think that somehow they would have a better grasp over what's going on with the women that are in the service. Plus, because, of course, more women are in the service. There's less work out there for people. More women are being encouraged to join the service. It makes more sense, you know, to have something to do to make a buck.
Well, you know, we don't know if there are more women being assaulted or more women speaking up. Mm. You know, that's always the case. When you look at what happened at Penn State and how long it took for people to speak up, sometimes it's a matter of not having that.
Well, but I've read that you're right. People aren't speaking up. You know that it's worse than that. But that women don't speak up, and I find it's just so hard for me to get a grasp of the idea that somebody's going to change their life by going to the military, and they're looking forward to this life changing situation, and unfortunately they have a life changing situation.
Yeah.
That's really kind of crazy to me, and it's just like I don't know. I don't know why the military does not have a better grasp over what's going on with that. I don't get it. And nobody's come forth, really. And we haven't had a general or somebody say, you know, or Leon Panetta or anybody else say, well, here's why and here's what we're going to do about it. Nobody said a thing about it. You know, so
military reflects what happens in the military, sort of reflects what's happening in society in general. I mean, there have been a lot of things that have been good that have been happening with the military. Like, they are the most environmentally friendly, if you regard them as a corporation. It's the military that's making the transition to a lot of green transportation. But if you look at things that are happening, whether it involves sexual abuse or shooting civilians, whatever it is, it's kind of a reflection of us in general.
Mm-hmm. You work for the Women's Resource Center. Now, I don't know what's going on with we have a rape crisis unit, and a women's shelter. What's the actual name of the whole thing?
SARP or
there is the
sexual assault recovery program.
Now, are they seeing an increase in people?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
No, I don't know. As I said, I think I used to work for something similar to that up in Oregon. And the more women we did outreach to, the better they were at coming forth and asking for help. And we will have some resources there. I think you brought up a good idea. Maybe we should ask SARP to participate, and that would be a good program. We do have a lot of programs in the county, but I think a lot of women start maybe with us because we do have, if you call in, we refer people to other programs. So if they started with us, we'd get them to the right place.
And I think, but probably the hardest thing I would imagine is to start at all. You know, to say, okay, I'm gonna pick up the phone and talk to somebody. You know, somebody who's afraid. You know, and they're under duress and that sort of thing. You know, I think it's very hard for them to say, okay, how do I get myself out of this mess?
Right. Well, we do have in this county 211. So you've got 911 if it's an absolute, I need medical assistance at this exact moment. But we have 211 for people who are in not immediate danger, but have a crisis in their life. So 211 is a real good resource for people who maybe are afraid they're going to be evicted or, you know, just I'm not sure where the nearest food bank is and I'm hungry, I got to feed my kids. Is there any kind of situation that comes up?
Bill Van Winkle never heard of 211.
Well, there you go.
There we go, 211.
Yeah, well, United Way got it off the ground. I know because I applied for several jobs there, so I know what happened. They had a struggle to raise the money, but they got help from PGE and some other local corporations, and they had a lot of contact with Santa Barbara, who had had a 211 system a lot earlier. And they somewhat modeled it on that. But they did get a real boost from United Way being involved.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of years ago they were talking about being in financial straits and needed help. And we're going to fold. And then they got the support they needed.
Yeah,
so it's a great resource in our town. And if you didn't know about it, that means others didn't know about it as well.
I'm going to make sure I mention it more often.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking to Robin Rensler and Judith Bernstein. We're talking about the Day with Creative Women. It's going to be August 11th in the Plaza, which is just around the corner, by the way. And it's going to be from 10 o'clock until 5. There'll be lots of booths there of different kinds and women's creative stuff. Did I say that as booths? Is it booths or booths?
Booths and booze.
Sounded familiar.
I wasn't sure which one you were saying.
All right.
We will have music throughout the day. We have women who sing barbershop style. We have a woman named Melody Clayman who was just written up in Slow Life magazine as a really wonderful upcoming young artist. And Slow Pokes, which does blues and jazz. So we have music throughout the day, and if people want to bring their own picnic, you know, there's a nice place there. It's sort of like a little amphitheater by the creek.
I've emceed the Gold Coast, well, it's not the Gold Coast Chorus, it's the men, but the women. I've emceed the women's events. There's two women barbershop groups in San Francisco.
Central Coast Celebration Chorus.
Yes, Celebration Chorus.
And then
I think they're part of the Sweet Adelines. They're really fun to watch. They have a lot of energy. They're really very good. It's a fun group to watch. So we have a lot of vendors signed up, a lot of jewelry. We've got a couple of different glass designs that should be really pretty. Clothing.
Body lotion. I'm looking forward to getting my lemon body lotion. I'm waiting to get it from Elfin Farms.
Well, no, it's interesting because there are people, you know, you go to these events sometimes, and there's people that are only at certain events, and like what you're talking about here. And so if you find something you really like, you're like, oh, darn, you know, I have to wait to get it again. But I know that's happened, so that's interesting. I think that's fascinating. See, here, I feel very bad. Let me explain something that's happened, and I've explained this a lot of times, but I need to keep explaining it. I have somebody trying to call in right now. I'm not accepting phone calls right now because the Supreme Court decided the FCC was allowed to change their fleeting obscenity rule, which said that if occasionally somebody said a bad word, it was okay. But then the FCC, without telling anybody, changed the rule, and then they tried to retroactively fine people. So the Supreme Court said you can't retroactively fine people because you didn't tell them you had changed the rule. You know, how would you know? Unless they tell you. And so, but because of that, And we don't have a tape delay at this moment, but we're working on it now. I cannot afford to have somebody decide, well, I'm going to torpedo Benica by doing this.
So that applies to all talk shows everywhere?
Yep. If you calling into a talk show now, if you're calling, unless they don't have any brains, if you're calling to a talk show now,
they either have the tape.
They either have it, or here's the other thing too. You have to understand, is I'm an independent contractor, so I have to protect myself. Now the station is probably protected. The stations themselves are probably protected. They don't want to get fined by the FCC, of course, but they have what's called errors and omissions insurance. So in case, you know, somebody does something wrong, that, you know, they can it'll cover the fine from the FCC.
Well, we're sorry, caller, that we can't take
your
call.
We're sorry we can't take your call.
But if
we're
you do have a question about the event, you can either call the Women's Center.
The number is 544-9313. That number again is 544-9313.
Or if you're a vendor who wants to become part of it, or you're somebody in the media who wants to know more, you can call me at 221-5672.
That's Judith Bernstein and Robin Rensler, and I'm really glad we had a chance to do this. As somebody said to me on an email just today, they said, so let me get this right. Without this tape delay thing, you're the Friends and Neighbors Network, but Friends and Neighbors can't be involved. Yeah, got my sign and everything. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll get it straightened out.
We'll change that for you.
Yeah, we'll get it. Yeah. Just people. those people. All right, but anyway, it looks like it's going to be a fun event. Once again, last time, it's going to be August 11th. It's going to be in the Mission Plaza. It's from 10 o'clock until 5 o'clock. It's a day with creative women, and there'll be lots of creative women there and things to do and things to buy and things to see and lots of nice music and entertainment. And it's going to be a good day, and it has been for many, many years, 38 years.
And we want to also thank Santa Barbara Bank and Trust for being a sponsor and giving us money. We thank you for that.
Thank you, Santa Barbara Bank and Trust, for doing that. And I thank you, ladies, for coming by.
Thank you for having us.
Talk to you again soon. Okay, bye.
When you buy a previously owned vehicle from Rancho Grande Motors, you can feel confident that your automobile purchase will be covered, whether by a written warranty or something even better. You see, our philosophy at Rancho Grande Motors is no worries. You don't even have to ask, because we always tell you everything we know about our vehicles. Our vehicles are top-notched and fully reconditioned. We take pride in the condition of our previously owned cars and trucks. If something goes wrong with your car or truck, we handle it. And they are all priced competitively on the lot and the internet, so you can shop and compare. Come talk to us at Rancho Grande Motors, where you'll always have a peace of mind when it comes to a used car purchase. We're always here for you. We are Rancho Grande Motors. Go to RanchoGrandeMotors.com or stop by for a visit at 1404 Auto Park Way, San Luis. Rancho Grande Motors, a little hard to find, but always easy to deal with.
Yeah, I didn't tell you? I'm finally letting John take me out to lunch. I know he's not my type. I just hope he doesn't take me to some place I've ate a million times. Oh, shoot, here he comes. Talk to you later.
Hey there, you ready for lunch?
Sure, where are we going?
I've been dying to try Slow Brew for lunch.
Okay.
If the same old thing for lunch over and over and over is driving you crazy, stop the madness and try something new at Slow Brew. Affordable, delicious food, great ambiance. It's Slow Brew, downtown Slow, with $3 tacos, your choice of steak, chicken, or Alaskan cod. Vegetarians, try their peace and love vegan hummus platter. And all of Slow Brew's salads, burgers, and sandwiches can be ordered in either full or half-size portions. Even their most popular, the Thai Ahi Salad. Loosen up your day a little bit by adding one of Slow Brew's award-winning microbrews to your lunch. It's Slow Brew, serving lunch Tuesday through Sunday at 1119 Garden Street, downtown Slow.
I don't know about a new guy, but I definitely have a new lunch spot. Slow Brew.
Out at the old ball game.
right, take me out to the ball game. We did that because the Dodgers kicked the Giants' butt 2 days in a row, so that's why we decided to do that. All right. So that's how that worked. You're Bill. This is Talk Is Cheap, your Friends and Neighbors Network. Thanks for joining me today, even though it's not friendly and neighborly anymore because I can't get people to call in. I feel really I'm going to work on it. I'm trying to find out. I don't know. So we'll call it Bill's News and Commentary for the time being. All right, here's another thing I want to tell you about that was kind of really weird, in my opinion. It's just kind of strange to me, and I'll tell you what it was. Give me a sec here. There's not enough charges you could level against the guy in Colorado, of course, but here's the interesting thing. One of the things that has come out, even though a lot of it's sealed at this point, because he's going to have like 197 counts or something, I think 142 or something. Anyway, they said that he's going to have 24 counts of first-degree murder, 2 counts for each of the 12 people killed in the shooting, and 12 murder counts cite deliberation and cite extreme indifference to the value of human life. And I didn't know they did that, so that's interesting. But obviously one would have to precede the other, would it not? So anyway, so that's what they're going to do. But eventually they're going to have 142 charges, is what they're saying. You're with Bill Becker, and I thank you for joining me this Monday. And the weather's going to be pretty mild all week for the most part, and so that's kind of nice. And the Mid-State Fair wrapped up, you know, with the big old trucky things and everything. And we'll find out. We'll get numbers, and they'll tell us how great the Mid-State Fair did, and that'll be fun. And what else do I want to tell you? There's so many things. Let's do a little bit of what happened with the Olympics, some of the things that have happened so far. What's her name? Missy Franklin just won about a half hour ago, the 100-meter backstroke. Vollmer took a gold record when she did the 100-meter butterfly. American basketball team rolled past France in the opener, not too hard. U.S. team starts off with a close win in men's water polo over Montenegro or something. What is it? Yeah, Montenegro, 8-7. It was like a close thing right to the end. It was a nail-biter right to the end of the thing. Okay. And then other people that did really great. Here's a picture in the paper of Ali Raisman, which is a good thing they took her picture because she's the one that made it. You know, they could have taken. And here, here's the down here, the woman, the girl crying, Jordan Weaver. She has to feel really bad. Spain's knocked out of the Olympics, and this is in soccer. Let's talk about the Dodgers shutting out the Giants again, just because we want to mention that. Jimmy Johnson won the Brickyard, ties for the most wins. Senior British Open was won by Fred Couples, 2 strokes over Gary Halberg. Lots of sports and stuff going on. You know, we could do Olympics all day, I suppose, but we'll stop. We'll stop with that for now. Stop with that for now. So, okay. Lots of great Olympic stuff going on. I thought the opening ceremony was fine. I enjoyed it. What else? Here's something people are complaining about. They have a tower that they built, and so it's next to near the Olympic arena, and the flames in the middle of the arena. So they had a guy do an interview this morning and doing a news story, and he had gone to the top of this tower assuming that he could see the flame inside the arena, but he couldn't. It wasn't high enough. And so apparently there's some dissatisfaction with the fact that you can't see the Olympic flame unless you're inside the arena. You know, so. But there always has to be something wrong with something. So that's weird. They don't have enough people in the seats. What the heck? All right. Now, I got to tie these two things together, so let me make sure I can do it well. Let me make sure I can do it without screwing up because it's important to me that I don't screw this up, okay? I gotta have my ducks in a row when I do this. I gotta tell you that. There it is, right here. Okay, here I got it, buddy. Got it right here. All right. Do I have time for this? Yeah. I wish I could just read all this to you. John Lindsay in Weather Watch in Sunday's paper, he talked about a tiny Voyager spacecraft, and it says designed in Pasadena at the JPL Laboratories, they took advantage of a 175-year event when the planets were all arranged so that it could slingshot off the gravitational fields. It's now headed out of the universe at about 11 billion miles away at 35,000 miles an hour. And radio signals from Voyager 1 take 16 light hours to reach the Earth. So it's a whole thing. One day in only 40,000 years, Voyager 1 will fly by a star in the constellation. And then about 300 years, Voyager 2 will pass within 25 trillion miles of Sirius, the brightest star in the heavens. Sirius is also known as the Dog Star because it is the primary star in Canis Major, the big dog in the southern part of the sky. After that, Voyager spacecraft is destined to wander the vast expanse of the Milky Way for a long time. So this is the amazing thing to me. When Steve Matusek of JPL updated the calculations for these star flybys back in 1899, turn page, he thought, listen to this, ahead 300,000 years and realized that he actually would get to accomplish the dream of star travel in a small way. I often wonder what Sirius would actually look like from Voyager 1's perspective when it flies by, he said. Well, he's not gonna, of course, we're not going to be around. But that 300,000 years they figured out. 300,000 years. John left her purse. I thought a mouse was in here or something. I thought we had vermin. Oh, we had vermin. She just came in the door and she's looking for something. All right. Oh, it was probably Miss Bernstein's, Judith Bernstein's purse. Is that what they call? You call it a bag, satchel, thing. All right. So anyway, so there was that story, and then they had the big story today of the Mars mission calls on the mother of all rovers. The behemoth Curiosity at 2,000 pounds is poised to begin exploring the red planet. So it's on its way there. It's going to be at, what, the end of August or something. It's going to arrive. Sunday. Mars on Sunday and began rolling. It will be August. And begin rolling around the surface for a few days later. And then they say there'll be 350 earthbound scientists that are going to study what it's doing. It's got all kinds of lasers and drills and hoochie-coochies and all kinds of stuff. And it's going to, it's going to be a top-notch affair. I'll tell you that. So it's going to wander all over. It shouldn't get caught like the other little guy did. And it's going to do all kinds of stuff up there. But anyway, that's a huge thing. 2,000 pounds. And it's going to arrive next week. So we'll get to see some of the cool pictures and stuff. It's got a camera, of course. So we'll see what some of those things are going to be. All right. We will we'll get to so many other things today that we have to talk about after we do CBS News, which is coming up in 10 seconds. And so I want to thank you for joining me on Talk is Cheap on 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo on this Monday. I'm Bill Benica, thanking you from the bottom of my heart for being here.
says, come on, on in.
Three Tesla, 204 coils, 48 simultaneous channels, 5 times faster, 8 times the resolution, and wide open enough to hold a 550-pound person. What does this describe? The new Ultra High Field MRI just installed at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the gold standard in diagnostic imaging, previously only available at research hospitals. So don't settle for an outdated closed-in scanner with half the strength when you can choose the new Ultra High Field MRI at San Luis Diagnostic Center. If you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Lower cost, more comfort, shorter exam time, and image quality never before seen in San Luis Obispo County. For your next MRI, don't settle for an exam on a 10-year-old machine. Insist on San Luis Diagnostic Center's brand new Siemens Skyra. Call 542-9700. The choice is yours.
Karen Scott Audiology, now at her new location, 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo next to the DMV. Dr. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast and the community for over 30 years. What's important to remember is that hearing loss can occur at any age, from newborns to your grandparents. Let's stop the stigma of having to wear hearing aids. With today's technology, new sleek hearing aids are available. Karen Scott carries Starkey, Phonic, Widex, just to name a few. They have the knowledge and the experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. They also offer clinical audiology as well as industrial screenings. Call her for your free consultation. Call 541-1790. When was the last time you had yours or your child's hearing checked? How about that teen that listens to that loud music or that's not doing so well in school? They could be suffering from hearing loss. Karen Scott Audiology. Call 541-1790 because hearing really matters.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, in durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonné. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
That's right, PCK&B. And they'll take care of what they're doing. They have just such nice things. And I, my sink faucet's from theirs. Mine has a, I have a cool sink faucet. It pulls out, you know how they do? But mine has a little ring of LED lights, so you can really see the goo that's on the dishes and everything. I can clean. You're Bill Benica. Talk is cheap. Hi, it's Monday. Somebody left a long, long message. Somebody was, I mean, they were on there for a long, long time. I don't know what they said. I don't retrieve my own messages. You're sort of saying yourself, you know, Bill, what's going on with you? Oh, let me mention this. The Women's Network is it's a women's community center, and it's slow.org, all right? Women's Community Center, slow.org. So, oh, I'm sorry. So it's WCCSLO.org, WCCSLO.org, if you want to, the ladies mentioned that before they left. WCCSLO.org, in case you want to ring it up there and see what it's about. on the telly. You've been watching the telly? All right, here's the, this is, I was sort of really surprised at this story, to tell you the truth. Now, luckily, I haven't seen it, but I think twice, once going and once coming back, and that's the Salton Sea. Now, it was really right, amazing, and if I have my biology correct, and I think I do, if I'm not mistaken, all of our seagulls that we have here on the coast, are they come from the Salton Sea. That's where they are, that's where they're fledged. Is that the right word? I think so. They're fledged. And then they fly over here and say, okay, well, we're going to live on the coast now. But anyway, so that's why they're migratory birds, which is why you're not allowed to actually pick up a seagull feather and put it in your pocket because it's considered a migratory bird. But the point of the matter is that the Salton Sea has always just been this terrible thing. It's 50% saltier than the ocean. There's some abandoned buildings around it because people were going to do these pie-in-the-sky things and sell them to, you know, movie stars and everything. It was going to be like this big Riviera-type thing where the three-digit heat, you know. They were trying to do what Palm Springs actually succeeded doing, but they never did succeed. Now, apparently, there's some people that are some companies that are interested in trying to make this thing happen again. Developers have big plans for the isolated area once filled with promise but long neglected. Now, here's the other thing, though. Their water, part of the water from the Salton Sea, even though it's salty, has already been promised somewhere, and so it's going to recede somewhat. So you're going to have trouble with launching boats and whatnot. I can't imagine why anybody would want to go to the Salton Sea and spend more than a minute there. Anyway, so the plan calls. You ready for this? So this isn't small, you know. This guy, John Benoit, the Riverside County Supervisor, said recreational bodies of water don't stay unoccupied. You need to take development piecemeal as it comes or invest in something that's really taking a long-term view of creating comprehensive, unprecedented development. But environmentalists aren't happy, of course. The plan calls for 16,000 homes and 5 million square feet of commercial space, along with parks lining streets with low speed limits. The approved plans say a minimum number of jobs may be created for each phase. So I have no idea. Paul Quill, who is managing the project, argues that this is the most sustainable project that has ever been built in the area. We're not talking about just putting up a bunch of houses and walking away. We're talking about putting up a bunch of houses, selling them, and then walking away. So there it is. Salton Sea. Phew. I don't know why you'd want to be there. I don't know. Imperial County. You know, Imperial County is for people that... farmers, ranchers, you know, that kind of thing. That's what it's for. Imperial County. All right. Dark Knight stays on top. So the Dark Knight's still the number one movie. Was not surprised to anybody. We'll see what some of the others are. Two is Ice Age. Three, The Watch. Four, Step Up Revolution. Five is still Ted. The Amazing Spider-Man at six. Brave, number seven. Magic Mike, number eight. Savages, number nine. And Moonlight Kingdom, number 10. You know who drove the pace car at the Brickyard was for the Brickyard 400 was Ron Howard. He was in a car, a Corvette that can go 198 miles an hour. They should have let him go 198 miles an hour just to show that he could do it, and the car was really cool. Because when they tell you the car can go 198 miles an hour, the chances are you're never going to try that. So they can say any number. They can say 298 miles an hour. It doesn't matter. You're not going to go that fast anyway. Snoop Dogg was banned from Norway for having a little marijuana on him. You know, you have to assume if Snoop Dogg's anywhere, he has marijuana on him. It's kind of like Willie Nelson. You know, they're never too far away from it. That's just the way life is. Tom Jones was supposed to sing at the Olympics, but he had a bad throat or something, so he had to pull out. He had bronchitis. That was it. So he tweeted and said, "I'm sorry, and I hope you understand." And that. All right. Now, this was interesting because Judy Salmacha had a thing about Moral Beta hit the airwaves. There you go. So here's what's coming in December. FM is FM 97.3, The Rock. FM 97.3, The Rock. Now, if you're new to the area, and so if you're not, you're going to say, "Bill, don't bore me with this story." But if you're new to the area, there was an AM station, quite successful AM station in Moral Bay for many, many years, called K-Bay, K-B-A-I. K-Bay, and it was a 50,000 watt directional. It didn't start out that way, but that it became that. And there used to be towers down there in the valley, before, you know, by the peak. And then they've been removed because K-Bay was bought by Kiss AM in Los Angeles, who then shut it off the air. because they had the Dodger contract for 1 year, and they didn't want any. They didn't have to. They want to be able to broadcast the signal in such a way they wouldn't interfere with anybody else. At 1150 KBay was on the same frequency as they are in LA, so they bought it and shut it down. And that's been the end of it since. It's just hard. It's hard to believe. It's hard. People I know that work there. You know who used to work there? Somebody whose name is familiar, but now he's not working there anymore, was Guy Rathbun from KCBX. Guy Rathbun was a news guy at KBay. And there's other people over there. Dino Fulvio was the general manager. Bob Darling was the other owner. Dino was also an owner. Bob Darling and I always got along famously. Anyway, it was just kind of weird to see something just disappear. But anyway, so there's something new going on in Morro Bay. It's going to be local stuff, you know. It's going to be kind of like our Channel 2 on television is. Is that the right channel, what I'm saying? Channel 2 on television on Charter? You know, anybody can do anything they want to do for any reason. Sometimes it's really good, sometimes it's not so good, and sometimes it's hideous. So we'll see how that works out there. I don't know. We'll see who's going to make that work. All right. Homeless Forum is slated for tomorrow in Arroyo Grande. They're going to have a film. What's the film going to be about? Anyway, but discussion on challenges facing the South County on homelessness. And a lot of the people that are involved in San Luis Obispo's homeless will be there. And so it's going to be, let me tell you where it is. It's going to be here at a church, I thought it was. 6 to 8 p.m. at St. Barnabas Episcopal Church at 301 Trinity Avenue in Arroyo Grande. So there it is. So they're going to talk about more homelessness. We heard on the news, you might have heard just here a few minutes ago, that the mother that was shot in Colorado who lost her six-year-old miscarried. But Colorado's does not have a law that protects unborn people. Because, you know, as soon as you get into that, then you're getting into this whole thing about abortion and rights and law. All right. Mitt went to Israel. It takes a hard line on Iran. Turked off the Palestinians, which is come see, come saw. Anyway, so there is. And I'm sure that the guy that's got the little thing in his ear right there and has that certain look about his face is a Secret Service agent. Yeah, pretty much guaranteed it. Because now that he's a candidate, he gets to have the Secret Service around him. Or that, or he's just paid for his own bodyguards. Okay. This was kind of an interesting tale today in the paper. They had the thing about new cremations. People are doing new and strange things. There's actually a company that will take your ashes. It takes a year. They'll take your ashes. They put them under pressure, and they need a cupful of ashes. They put them under pressure, and they make a diamond out of it. Superman. Remember Superman could do that with his bare hands? So anyway, so they can make a dime, and you can be any color you want, and then you can wear it if you want to. It should be different, I guess. Although they showed somebody, where was another part of the paper? They showed people that had the ashes of somebody in tiny little vials that they could wear around their necks. Which I thought was a little different. Anyway, so that's one of the things you can do. Let's see what else they have. There are other things that are a special way of remembrance. It costs $3,000. If you want a full carrot, that's just for a little guy. If you want a full carrot, then it's usually, that's a quarter carrot. A full carrot costs $25,000. All right. And then a longtime publisher of Mortuary Magazine says changes, in case you didn't know, there was a thing called Mortuary Magazine, and I've seen one, by the way, and it's very, very strange. It's very strange. It has, you know, prosthetics and strange things, and anyhow. When you're dead, what they do. A longtime publisher says the changes in the $12 billion funeral industry can be tagged to factors far deeper than recessions, which come and go. People are increasingly looking for simple methods for the honor of the departed, and the big church funerals are a thing of the past for most people. Anyway, here's the stats. In America, 41% of all deaths now are cremated, up from 30% just 8 years ago, and in the 1960s, only 4% of people were cremated. So you decide. Now, here we have another one of these. Here we have another one. Prominent climate change denier says he was wrong. This is guy's name is Richard Mueller, who's a professor of physics at UC Berkeley. He says, I see the folly of my ways when I said that climate change wasn't happening, and not only that, I believe that most of it's man-made. You know, I'm not into that neener thing about climate change. I'm into, let's be aware of, I don't care about global warming, whatever you call it, but it's climate change. And look at what's going on around us. Look at the storms and stuff they're still having on the East Coast, and just the bizarre weather that, you know, China's got floods and people are just screwed up everywhere. Anyway, I would think that, you know, most people have their eyes open at this moment. And then, what if you threw a war and the people you didn't want came and crashed the party? Syrian fighting becoming radicalized. Muslim jihadists and small al-Qaeda groups play a bigger role, the opposition says. So, you know, when you have this thing about, you know, we'll see how it plays out, it's playing into the wrong hands, by the way. Okay. But then they have this amazing story here. I can only just tell you about a little bit. And so they're saying that waiting for a kill shot. This is a guy that sits behind, this is a colonel. And he sits and controls a remotely piloted aircraft in Hancock Field Air National Guard Base in New York. Colonel Scott D. Brendan. And he flies a Reaper drone that beams back hundreds of hours of live video. So what they're saying is that's very weird, because this is another new thing that has to do with warfare that we haven't seen before, is they watch when they have a target they think is a terrorist. They watch his all the time. They watch, you know, night and day. They watch the house. They watch the family. They see them come. They see them go. They see who arrives, who leaves. They see the whole thing. So basically what they're saying is they sort of become intimate with the family. You know, they realize the guy's a bad guy, but he has a family, and he acts like a family guy, and that's the way it is. But at some point, somebody's going to give the order to take the dude out. So the question was, can you pull the trigger? And they go, yeah. Okay. But that has to be a little bit different, huh? I would think. Here we go again. Officials say J.P. Morgan's subsidiary exploited the automated system, making $73 million on state power. So I remember we went through all this craziness before, and Enron and all that. Well, now they're saying J.P. Morgan pulled a fast one, and they say they've covered $20 million so far from the company, but there's more involved. They say $73 million involved. But so everybody's saying, no, we're not. You know, all of a sudden, J.P. Morgan Chase, you know, is not one of my favorite people. And I banked there, and I may have to stop. Even though, after screwing the GIs that were overseas with their homes and doing some foreclosure stuff, it was really kind of not right. Now they have a special, if you are a veteran, they have a special account where they give you everything for free. If you needed everything, I don't really need anything, but they give it to you. They try to make amends, but I don't really care about that. Two tech titans will square off in a federal court today in a closely watched, they probably already did, it's in San Francisco. It's probably happening right now as we speak. This is exciting. In a closely watched trial over control of the U.S. smartphone and computer tablet markets, this is a big deal, by the way, Apple filed a lawsuit against Samsung last year alleging the world's largest technology company, smartphones and computer tablets, are illegal knockoffs of its popular iPhone and iPad. So they're suing for $2.5 billion in damages. And it would be the largest award ever. Samsung counters that Apple is doing the stealing, and the sum of the technical issues, such as the rounded rectangular designs of smartphones and tablets, have been the industry standard for years. I mean, what are you talking about? Well, we don't need to hear all that stuff. There's a lot of people dying on all that. But here's one thing I have to tell you about. In some of these foreign countries, I would not take mass transportation. I'm not lying to you. The railroad cars, if they crash, the railroads, the ferry boats turn over. Here's an official said at least 25 people died early today in a fire that swept through a running train in southern India. So the fire is believed to have been caused by a short circuit in the coach. It was extinguished, and at least 22 people were hospitalized, and 25 people died. If you're in India, walk.
Hello, Bill Senna's Insurance Services. How may I help you?
My mother-in-law just moved in, and I think she slipped a cog in her wheel, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she's 89 years old and still insists on driving her car, cooks and leaves the oven on, and her medical bills are through the roof. Can you help?
Of course we can help. Bill Senna's Insurance is a full-service insurance agency and has been in business for over 20 years, offering top insurance carriers, giving you only the best protection for the whole family. Medical, dental, home, auto, business, long-term care, life insurance, and even Medicare prescription drug plans for your mother-in-law.
So you're a one-stop shop for all my insurance needs?
Yes, we are. Bill Senna's Insurance gives you peace of mind.
So we're covered if she burns the house down?
Absolutely. And Bill Senna's Insurance Service never charges a fee for our service. And we'll find the right policy for you.
Huh, good. Because I want to live life large and fully charged.
Bill Senna's Insurance is on East Grand Avenue in Cortland Street in the Dollar Store Center in Arroyo Grande. Or call 489-HELP. That's 489-HELP.
You may be exposed to noise while attending sporting events, concerts, dance clubs, bars, health clubs, aerobics classes, auto racing events, fireworks displays, during motorcycle riding, snowmobiling, and shooting firearms. Hazardous noise levels are also frequently encountered in the workplace. Hearing protection decreases the intensity or loudness of noise and helps to preserve your hearing. Noise is all around us in our everyday environment. This has been a public service announcement from Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
Debt stress can take a number of different forms, from losing sleep to a lack of focus at work. But there is help out there if you know where to go. National Foundation for Credit Counseling Agencies are independently accredited and have trained certified counselors. Our agencies are nonprofit and community governed, so we have a real stake in helping you. To find an NFCC agency near you, call 800-388-2227 or visit nfcc.org, a public service from the NFCC.
I myself am sitting. All right. But I can stand. Hello. You're Bill Beck, Talk is Cheap. Thanks for joining me, Dan. 1340 KYNS, your new station in San Luis Obispo. And we're talking about what's going on in our world and things are happening because we've got all kinds of stuff going on. Here was a thing that somebody put up here. Let me get this right now. They say right here, officials say NBC's tape delay Olympics coverage might be okay if spoilers weren't trickling through every nook of the Internet before the events finally air. Well, now you have to decide if you want to go on social networking and find out if you know who won what before it ever happened. In which case, it's no fun to watch. Actually, it is. You know, if you know, it takes away the tension. You know what I'm saying? If you know the U.S. has won a gold medal, you know, and you already know that they've done it, and then you say, oh, okay, I'm going to watch that because I know how it turns out. You tell how much I like mystery stories when I was young. Just let me know. But kids are funny, though. A lot of kids are always the same, though, in their own way when you're young. You know, you would rather hear the same story 100 times than hear a new one. You would rather watch the same movie 100 times than see a new one. And if you suggest to a young child, you know, hey, why don't we watch something else? I have something that's really good and you'll like it. No, it's like, okay, fine. Okay. Now, there was a story, though, if I can get to it without the usual problems that I have, which I had earlier, and I managed to fake my way through it. Because there's something I do want to share with you. And it has to do with the Olympics. And I can't believe we're even discussing this anymore, but apparently we are. And so this had to do, you know, this has to do with this debate over pro athletes in the Olympics. And if we recall, the reason that we finally said, okay, we're going to use our pro athletes is because all the other countries were actually, you know, using their athletes. They were training them. They were paying them. They were room and board them. They were paid to be athletes. And it was particularly notable in some of the communist countries, but others. And so they finally said, okay, well, that's, you know, if they're going to do it, why don't we do it? You know, why can't we do it? So that's why we have pro players. But, you know, this thing's just going around and around like a crazy thing. And I'm not going to find out anything, I don't think, ever. Oh, wait. No. Here's a guy climbing mountains without a rope. After this ad. It was a phone ad, so that was kind of weird. You'd think they'd talk on a phone ad, wouldn't you? This is the only video I get to play, so we might as well listen to it.
I'm definitely not afraid of heights at all. But I'm just as, like, afraid of dying as anybody else. You know what I mean? A lot of people say that they're afraid of heights, but really they're afraid of, like, falling off a cliff and dying. You know, so, I mean, if I thought I was actually going to fall off the cliff, then, yeah, I mean, I feel fear just like anybody else does. Hi, my name is Alex Arnold. I'm a rock climber. Pre-solo climbing is just climbing big routes without a rope. In general, when I'm soloing big walls, it's anything from like 1,000 to 3,000 feet. Honestly, anything above 50 feet is kind of all the same. You know, or anything beyond like 150 feet is all the same. It doesn't really matter if you do 2,000 or 20,000. It's like either way, you're done if you fall. Alone on the Wall was a climbing film about me soloing.
All right, they show him clinging to walls and whatnot, and it's like, oh, my God. Oh my, you know. Yeah, I'll admit, that's what I'm afraid. I'm afraid of falling. I'm afraid of falling and splatting at the bottom. I'm not going to deny that. Sorry. Oh, wait, here we got the debate came. Maybe because it's going to come up here. I'm excited about this.
For a change in the Olympic rules that were so huge, the sort of astonishing thing is how it was greeted by the public in the long run with a yawn. The sacrosanct rule of the Olympics was that amateurs could compete, professionals couldn't. If an athlete was found to have taken money for playing his sport or accepted a commercial endorsement, he was out in the cold, banished. So in the late 1980s, when the move to allow professionals into the Olympics was growing, the public thought it was no big deal. They knew that athletes were paid and that's what they accepted. The reason for all this was television. The International Olympic Committee in the television age realized there was enormous amounts of money to be made from worldwide broadcasts. But to maximize the viewership, what was needed was the biggest, most famous name in sports, which was often the professionals. The epitome of this was the 1992 Dream Team, of American NBA players who went to Barcelona knowing they were going to win, and they did, by almost 44 points a game. But there was a downside to this. Remember the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, the Do You Believe in Miracles team? This was sort of the converse. When you're that good, when you're that professional and talented, the world tends to root against you, and the miracle comes from the other teams. Now, if anyone ever wanted to go back to the supposedly pristine days of competition for competition's sake, there would be a very easy way to do it. Get rid of the marketers, get rid of the promoters. All the International Olympic Committee would have to do is add one sentence to the Olympic Charter. The Olympic Games shall not be televised. Right.
And you can read Bob's columns and other great opinions on that issue that shaped the world at CNN.com/opinion.
Thank you very much. Yep, that's right. Just not have it on television. What matter then? That's a whole deal right there. So anyway, so it's I don't know where we're getting this stuff. We do, though. But there'll be more. There'll be more because there's been weird stuff already in the Olympics. You know, first the North Koreans, they put up the South Korean flag. Now listen to this thing.
Not enough people at the events, but there was one person too many at the opening ceremonies. That woman who was marching with India.
There was so much excitement over the opening ceremony, Jonathan. If you had the chance, would you try and sneak in? I'm not sure I would. I'm too much of a goody two-shoes. But you can't blame this woman for trying. And wasn't that a great picture of her in her red hooded top and turquoise trousers or pants at the front of the Indian team, clearly looking nothing like the other competitors who all had smart blazers on. India are rather annoyed about this. They think that she's stolen the spotlight from their athletes and officials. We still don't know who the woman is, and Locock had been asked about that as well. This was their response.
I think I can now confirm that she was a cast member who clearly got slightly overexcited. We had, in fairness, suspected that she was probably a member of the cast. She shouldn't have been there, but she clearly started in that venue. And yes, I will be speaking to the Indian delegation about that.
So no official public apology, but it sounds like Seb Coe was going to go and maybe say sorry in person to the Indian delegation. But it seems like he was confirming there, Jonathan, she was one of the 10,000 volunteers roped in by movie director Danny Boyle for that opening ceremony and got a bit carried away.
You know, she'd marched with...
She didn't get carried away. She just marched with the team from India. I think they should be complimented. She had a red top and turquoise pants. Hey, you can't miss that, though. I'll tell you, you can't miss that. A red top and turquoise pants. Well, we have, of course, naturally, we have letters after letters after letters about what happened in Aurora. There's almost no reason to get into all of them. Lou from Pismo Beach. And remember we told you this story last week about Lauren Gray, and she was brought here when she was a young girl by her parents who were on work visas, and then she was going to be banished. What do you call it? She's going to be deported. Well, here's his take on that, which I thought was interesting. I'm sorry, have I missed something? Lauren Gray, made deported over her policy, was brought to the United States at the age of 4 by her parents who had work visas. It had taken her 15 years to realize that she'll be considered illegal on July 31st. My lawyers informed me that as of midnight on my birthday, I'm here illegally. She will be taken away from her friends, from the town where she said the Pledge of Allegiance and rooted as a high school cheerleader, and from a state where the Stevens College she graduated with distinction in May. Her grandparents are naturalized U.S. citizens and must have been aware of their granddaughter's status her whole life. Yet Ms. Gray could not find the time to become a naturalized citizen before now. The woman, the U.S. college graduate of distinction, and she finds herself on the brink of deportation. Please tell me why this is a story about immigration policies. It's really a story about procrastination more than anything else. Somebody hand me a hanky. He's got a point, though, doesn't he? Okay. Now, you know, you get these letters every now and then. I'm surprised it took this long for this letter to hit, you know, because it happened, you know, almost a month ago. But we get these letters, we kind of shrug our shoulders, and we go, I think we really do. I think a lot of us just go, Boy, should I even be thinking about that at all? Even should I worry about that? Probably not. Here it is right here. Joyce from Atascadero. It's called Respect for Food. The revolting photo of Jaws at the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest at Coney Island, printed in the July 25th edition of the Tribune. He won the contest by wolfing down 68 hot dogs with buns. Considering there are millions of people starving in this world, this excess is particularly repugnant. Food should be used with respect, not as entertainment, and is an affront to the people who labor long and hard to raise and grow the food when it is used in such a manner. Pie eating contests are just as bad. That's right. I'm going to attempt my next time we have wieners. My wife and I am going to attempt to treat it with the utmost respect. I'm still going to eat it, which seems disrespectful, but I'm gonna treat it with respect before I eat it. Here we have this person. Let's see if I've got this straight. California, which is broke, is being given money by the federal government, which is broke, to build a high-speed rail system that isn't in great demand. Additionally, a spokesman for State Senator President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg of Sacramento stated in a recent article that the merit increases for 1,000-plus legislature, the merit increases for the 1,000-plus legislative employees occurred because their pay has been frozen for years. Where do the funds come from for these pay hikes? Does it matter that the state has been insolvent for years? Based on the above examples, I can only conclude that our leaders in Washington and Sacramento lack two basic virtues, frugality and wisdom. AB, they lack quite a few more. I think they're a list. We could come together with a list and say this is what we think they lack. I'm just guessing right there. I think we could come up with a list on what they lacked. And here's a smoking thing. So what happens on the programs that rely on smoking taxes when we totally ban smoking? The tobacco industry is a very large employer and tax generator. If we ban smoking everywhere, people will be forced to quit, thereby killing the tobacco industry. What then? Do we dip into the general fund to replace the taxes, or do we end the special program that lives on smoking taxes? I'm not a smoker. I'm just a concerned taxpaying citizen. At least I thought I had freedom of choice. So that was from Bill. Which is interesting, Bill. That's an interesting viewpoint. I mean, it is because what's been happening actually is a lot of farmers that were growing tobacco have been switched over to other stuff. You know, they're trying to switch them over, and they're trying to switch themselves over because they're sort of seeing the writing on the wall. But he has a point. You know, he does have a point. You know, you collect all these huge taxes on cigarettes, and then if people stop smoking, if they actually do what you want them to do, then the taxes go away. So the question is, do you really, it reminds me of a story I've told many times about, I was at a convention once, and it had to do with social workers, and there was a guy from the American Cancer Society who said to me and a couple other people, he said, I sure hope they never find a cure for cancer, because I'll be out of work. So yeah, so it depends on how you see things, I suppose. It just depends on how you see things. Now here we had a thing, this happens quite often. And I'm not criticizing it. It just is one of those things that happened. But here we had a guy. How old was this guy again? Let me see. Let me tell you the guy's age. The guy's in his 50s. He broke an ankle while he was climbing up Bishop's Peak. And so they had to get the fire, went the helicopters and all that stuff in there and do the whole thing. So fire crews hiked to the top of Bishop Peak, where San Luis Obispo Fire Department paramedics and CHP officers treated the piker and then packaged him to be brought down by helicopter. The helicopter brought him down to the base of the peak near Foothill Boulevard, where officials said ambulance took him to Sierra Vista. So he's okay now. But, you know, sometimes people fall when they hurt themselves. But that's part of the adventure of life, I believe. I know a lot of people, you know, they criticize that greatly, but that's what I'm thinking. That's just kind of what life dishes out here. All right. Is there anything else in the Olympics we should know about? Well, here's a first right here. No, they got the boxing. The boxing ladies a first. And then this is also, they got the first Saudi women in the Olympics, which is new. This is that phone ad again. I'm sorry. I should have waited until after the phone ad was over because they don't say anything. They don't tell you it's a Samsung Galaxy 3 or something. I don't know.
You're watching Connect the World live from London. Welcome back. I'm Max Foster. Now, the International Olympic Committee says Saudi Arabia will send two female athletes to compete in the London Olympics. A judo competitor and an 800 meters runner will both be included in the Saudi team. This means now that every country competing in the Olympics is represented by a female athlete. Now, the decision comes after Saudi authorities decided to lift a ban on women from the Gulf Kingdom competing in the Games. Earlier, I talked with Minky Warden. She is the director of global initiatives at Human Rights Watch to discuss what this means for women across Saudi Arabia.
Well, this is a pretty historic breakthrough. The main reason is because in 2008, Saudi Arabia sent a men's-only team to the Olympics. I think if they had tried to do so again, it would have been a big black eye for the International Olympic Committee, for the Olympics movement. But we really can't cheer entirely this advance, because we have to remember that many millions of women and girls inside Saudi Arabia still cannot take part in sport. And there are very simple things that the International Olympic Committee could do to help advance sport for women and girls in the country, and chief among them is to lift the ban on sport for girls in schools. That would make a difference in millions of girls' lives.
Saudi women's campaigners have brought up that exact point. We shouldn't get this out of proportion. This is just a small step, and perhaps it's a token gesture as well, because there isn't a commitment, a real commitment, to women's sport. So how should we be looking at this very small step, and is it just a token gesture?
Well, it's a small step on a long marathon for women's rights in Saudi Arabia. And really, the problem is not just the effective banning of women and girls from taking part in sports. This really goes back to basic human rights for women in Saudi Arabia. And central among them are really that women can't take part in public life. Even if there were gyms where women could practice sport, they can't drive to get there. They need permission of their male guardian, son, a father. If they're injured in sport, they would need permission of a man to go to the hospital. So we have a long way to go for women's rights in Saudi Arabia, but it is a first step on that long road.
Does it actually mean that Saudi Arabia is serious, though, about bringing equality to sport, or are they just doing it to look good on the international stage?
Well, you know, Human Rights Watch has done a tremendous amount of reporting, exhaustive reporting on this topic, and we've outlined a specific set of benchmarks that the Saudi government can and should take to show a commitment to sports for women. And they're very simple and straightforward. It's opening a National Olympic Committee section for women, allowing sports in schools, allowing women to compete in international competitions. But it is, the bottom line here is that this progress that we have made so far is due chiefly to international pressure. And people will say, oh, the Saudi government doesn't respond to international pressure, but obviously they do. It's 2 weeks before the beginning of the Olympics, and Saudi women will take part, will
what?
March behind the flag for the first time.
What?
That's
wait.
Something to cheer.
Wait. When was this story posted? We could have had the story about the last Olympics, about the Beijing Olympics. Now, that was done during the Beijing Olympics, but then that wouldn't make any sense. So that didn't make a lot of sense to me right there. But then you get used to these things after a while. You just get used to some people going, what the heck is going on here? What the heck just happened there? Anyway, that's what just happened there. So, but everything's okay now, I guess. So we find these things out kind of as we go. Okay. Well, I'm glad I did. I can tell you that. All right. Anything else today we talk about? Anything else we need to actually get to and need to know? Probably there's something else. I just don't know what it is. One of the things that's going on is in the news, county adopts a buy local policy, which seems like a good idea, doesn't it? Supervisors join national trend of giving preference to food that's farmed locally for health and economic reasons. So it would make sense that they buy as local as they can. They say the county itself buys food only for its jail and juvenile services center. According to a staff report, it spent $595,000 on it. Of that, $94,000 was spent on produce. However, Supervisor Chairman Jim Patterson said, we are hoping that the policy will be used as a model for other jurisdictions. And so this is to have hospitals, schools, et cetera, try to buy more locally than they've been buying and take care of business that way. So it's a good idea. And I would hope so that it could happen.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Some things in life are bad, they can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. This'll help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Life's a counterfeit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's the joke, it's true. You see, it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember the last laugh is on you.
Trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you till we meet again. Up like a $1 million trooper, trying hard.